Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Thank God.
Parashat Balak.
Parashat Balak. Yes, it's a very fascinating, if you read into the Torah portion, very, very fascinating parasha, because we see that, you know, sometimes when you have one thing in mind that you're going to say, somehow that doesn't necessarily come out the way that you planned on saying, it comes out something a little differently. And we see that Balak, who was the king of Moab, he summons the prophet Bilam to curse the people of Israel. And on the way, Bilam was going with his donkey, and the donkey, you know, stops in the way, and he hits the donkey, and he's telling, come on, let's go, move! And the donkey wouldn't move, and the donkey then hit his foot, Bilam's foot against the fence, and then he would sit down, he wouldn't get up, and he wouldn't go. And the sages bring down, and why wasn't he going? Because Bilam was not able to see, but the donkey was able to see that the angel of death, the angel of God that was standing in front of the way, was telling him, you don't go anywhere.
If you go, you die.
That's right. And obviously, when Bilam does come to the end over there, he's about to curse, and each time he wants to curse the Jews, he happens not to curse them, he gives the blessing.
Blessing them, yeah.
And obviously one of the blessings that he gave was, Matovo Alecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Yisrael, how good are your tents.
Tents, Yaakov.
Yaakov, Jacob, and your
dwelling places,
Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. Now that verse alone, we can really, and the way that the Jews had their camps set up, we can really, really learn a very, very important lesson. As you find, a lot of people are constantly looking at what the neighbor has, what their friend has. Oh, we just got the new state-of-the-art kitchen, and oh, this person just got a beautiful car delivered to their house, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. And I remember hearing once there was a rep, you know, that he'd broken all records in the sales for his company. And when they asked him, what is the secret to your success? And he explained that the first thing that he does, and he says, when the person that he's knocking on the door opens the door, he says, did you see what your neighbor just got? And the trick never fails him. Never. This person always says, do you see what your neighbor just got? All of a sudden, the next person, the person that he's trying to speak to, all of a sudden, because of that line, agrees to buy whatever merchandise, whatever it is, that he has to have it because his friend, his neighbor has it. And, you know, we were taught that everything in our life has to be, you know, we have to be able to make our own decisions, our privacy, our modesty, all has to be our characteristics of who we are, our people, have made us a nation from the fact that, you know, we didn't look at other people. We cared about who we were. We cared about what God wanted us to do. We didn't assimilate with the other nations. We became our own specific nation, a chosen nation. And the blessing of Bilam was that Bilam raised his eyes and saw Israel dwelling, everyone that was dwelling in their tents, they're all dwelling according to their tribes. And the question is asked, is what was so special about the Israelites dwelling? What was so unique that he has to make this, he has to make this special blessing, this special bracha that he gives the Jews? And Rashi, who is the main commentator on the Torah,
yeah,
he offers an interpretation of the verse that the doorways of the Israelites' tent in the wilderness were arranged in a way that they did not face each other. That way, one person was not able to see in his neighbor's tent, and their privacy was protected.
Yeah.
Because it was rarely you would see the back of the other tent. You wouldn't really be looking into the main tent. And this, in fact, is one of the explanations of Bilam's famous praise to the Jews in Matovo Alecha Yaakov, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, is that the prophet Bilam was, you know, basically congratulating the Jews or, you know, exalting the Jews and their virtues in their town planning. Because when they did all the tents in the way that one was not facing the other, what they would do was they took the precautions in safeguarding their modesty and protecting, you know, their personal family lives from would-be, you know, busybodies that we call today yentas and nudniks, you know, everyone that's looking into, you know, trying to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's one of Rashi's explanations, stating why he made that blessing of Matovu. And another possible interpretation that I remember seeing was that when it says not looking into your neighbor's tent, means possibly we might be able to say this, that when it says do not look into your neighbor's tent, it means do not look into your neighbor's tent to help you decide what you should be doing. Because your decisions in life should not be based on what other people are, you know, or are not doing. Certainly not on what your neighbors have and do not have. You know, you have to be able to make a decision that is relevant and good for you. That person might have a Rolls Royce in his backyard. But the fact that he has a Rolls Royce is because by him spending that $100,000, for him it wasn't a lot of money. But for you to have that, and now you have to go into debt because I need to be like that person, that's not making a decision that is good for you. You're making a decision based on the fact that you look into your neighbor's tent.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go and look, you know, I guess I have a student that comes as a social worker. And I really know a lot of people that we get to discuss certain things with. And, you know, I remember we were talking about the fact that family breakdowns are often a result of, you know, financial difficulty and the stress that it puts on marriages. And many of those stresses that are put on the marriages because of financial issues are self-imposed. They are, you know, they need the new kitchen. They need the new car.
Yeah.
But because that person happened to be getting a better job, happened to be getting a suit, was able to do it. But now I need to be able to still, you know, have a good standing in my social standing. So therefore, I need to be able to have what the other person has, whether the kitchen or the car or the vacation, we are making that as an unnecessary stress. And even if you find sometimes today, you know, the simchot, you know, weddings or bar mitzvahs, we need to be able to keep it. That person had a $20,000 wedding, I need to have the $20,000 wedding. Or he served this food, I need to serve this food. Why? It's all because we are busy looking over our shoulders and peering into the next door neighbor's place. And not only is it got to do, this issue has got to do with looking at the other person that he has, you know, a nice car or a nice kitchen, but it even can apply to the actual mitzvah of tzedakah, you know, of charity. For example, if there's an appeal in the synagogue, or any Jewish charity that's raising money, how do we respond? We say, well, if so-and-so, who is a multimillionaire, and he only put his hand up and gave, for example, let's say $10,000, then all I have to give is $10. Because that person is a multimillionaire, if he only gave $10,000, so for me, well, I'm not such a rich man, $10 is a lot of money. But we have to constantly remember is what difference does it make what someone else gave or didn't give? We have to be able to give and do what we're comfortable, what we feel we have to do,
exactly,
irrespective of what the other people are doing. And You know, and I think also this resentment, this bitterness, this disappointment, we would be able to avoid and not bring that stress level onto our houses and to our families if we don't try and make ourselves live by other people's standards. We would be much happier. And this is what Bilam was saying, Matovo Olev Yaakov, look at those tents. Those tents were made in such a way that every person has their own privacy, has their own respective issues. We all make our own decisions based on what we feel the need to do. And if we really want to enjoy the blessings of goodly tents that Bilam said, we have to keep our eyes and our nose in our own tent.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will be content with what we have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's brought down, Ezehu Ashir, Hasameach
Bechelko. Bechelko, exactly.
He who is rich, he is happy with what he has.
Yep.
If I'm constantly looking at someone else's property or someone else's house,
you will never be happy if you will look all the time.
Exactly. And that's what Bilam was trying to prove to us. Those blessings that he was saying, those were not curses. If we take it, that blessing, and we turn it around and say, well, no, I need to look at my other people's houses, then what Bilam was telling us was the curse. In other words, we are applying that curse onto ourselves for no reason whatsoever. We need to take the blessing of what Bilam said. How good are the tents, O Jacob, the way that they were set up, and every single person has their own entity, every single person makes their own decisions, and by doing that, we will be a happier and more satisfied people.
That's a nice lesson.
That's for sure. You know, you look in the Torah portions and you don't even have to look too hard. There are so many beautiful lessons that we can really apply to our lives. And the Torah is not a philosophy book. The Torah is a book that is written that we should be able to learn it, study it, and implement those lessons and laws in our lives to help us live as better Jews. And that's what the Torah is all about.
Thank you, Rabbi. That was very interesting. And the services, I understand, it's like last week.
Yep.
7:30 on Friday evening.
And 9 o'clock Shabbat morning. Saturday morning, Shabbat morning, 9 o'clock. And then if anyone would like, there's also minyan at 8:30 in the city at the Shah Shemayim, followed by breakfast. So it's all a win-win situation.
So it's 2 weeks in a row?
Every week, every Sunday they have every
nice.
Sunday. So you're feeding your soul spiritually and you're feeding your body physically.
That's
so you gain two things at one time.
Two birds.
That's right. That's right.
So thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, and we'll be in touch next week. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Be well.
Be well.